Before we started our event rental company, we had a dinnerware company.
We felt we had the potential to expand beyond diningware, so we added tents, games, and AV equipment.
We understand what it's like to want to expand your business even more past what you're offering currently.
Back then, we only made a total revenue of $2,500.
Now our revenue has multiplied over 1,100 times from where we started at. Stay tuned as we dive into how to expand your rental categories. Welcome everybody back to the Rental Boys Podcast. I'm joined here again, as always, with my co-host, Eddie.
Eddie Salcedo right here.
Yeah, we're going to see you. doing this Kip and Shannon thing. Missed that show. So today we have a very intriguing topic. And I know most of you guys are already kind of doing some of this. You're out there and you're like, you know, you start off, you're just buying stuff and keep buying stuff over and over. So today we're going to touch on a lot of these things and how to really grow your business and how to do it at the right time so that you're expanding and not having these huge issues. But before we get into that, we're going to jump into the ultimate checklist.
Ultimate checklist. All right, guys. Ultimate checklist. This is our baby that me and Xavier have put together for you guys at the amazing cost of $0.
$3.99.
All you have to do is click the link and check it out. And you are have to do a couple of reading, unfortunately. But yeah, it has a lot of good information there for your company. Sometimes you may be stuck and have certain questions. This thing answers a lot of it. So go and click it and get that bad boy and give it a read.
Yeah, read it. Eventually, we're going to turn it into an audiobook, but that's going to be something totally different that we do. But okay, let's start with the first thing. And I know most of everybody on here who's having any issues with figuring out when they want to expand is only because, at least it only should be based off of this, is customer demand. So customers coming in. As you know, customers are always asking for stuff you don't got. They're coming in, they'll be like, Eddie, I need 5 standing light poles.
Oh, yeah, we have those.
We have those, yeah. Then you go get them. And then it happens over and over. So, like, when you're moving into a new niche, because if you're just in, like, chairs and tables, so how do we kind of start it? Because we first partnered together.
Yeah, well, we first started off, I had the bounce houses, I had a water slide, and then I had tables and chairs. That was my original, like, kind of thing that I was pushing towards.
Bounce house guy.
Yeah. And then you had, like, garden chairs, a lot of them. White chairs and a couple of tables here and there. Yeah. Mainly the, you know.
And black tables seatings. From, black chairs from Amazon, which are still somehow kicking it.
Yep, they sure are.
So we started that. And then right before, if everybody doesn't know, right before, like we started separately. And then we decided we're going to work together. And then we're going to work on a diningware. I would say it's dinner, but diningware company. And we basically had this event. It was in Mesquite. And I think one of the customers came through and said, I need all this stuff right here. And I was like, I don't do all this stuff. So I talked to Eddie and I was like, okay, well, we'll start a dinnerware company and we'll get it worked out. So we ended up taking some of the funds and we ended up buying plates and we bought cups and stuff, which we still have to this day, all of those. And we made lots of money off of it. And then that's kind of how we started. And that was all based off the back of the demand of the customers. And it was just, we saw opportunity and we went for it. And that's kind of where generally all your purchases should be. It should be something that either your customer is asking for specifically or something that solves a problem that they have. Because, mm-hmm. Like, we don't want to be in a situation like, let me think about it. What situation have we been in where we haven't? Like, we bought something and it hasn't gone out.
Can't really think of one.
Yeah. Well, I have one. It was those coffee urns.
You never put it on the website.
So. And I thought they were on the website. I got to double check. But I'm pretty sure I didn't see them on the website. I'm like, I came in today to the warehouse, and I was like, what do these things still do in the box and everything?
And actually, we just did an event this past weekend, and they had a baby coffee urn. But I bet if we offered it to them, probably would have got something.
Yeah. I was surprised how big the coffee urn is. Yeah. On the package, it looked like it's going to be like this. And I was like, how's that going to fit? What is it, like 100 cups or something? Mm-hmm. So that's like, that thing's like this big.
Yeah, it's pretty tall.
It's huge on that part. So that's one thing right there. But I'm pretty sure that's one issue that we've had because we've gotten into farm tables because of that. We've got into literally all the speakers and stuff because of that. AV equipment. We got into, I guess, the margarita machine too. We got in because of that. People were asking and coming to us. It's always back to that. So you want to be able to, like, we have a document. Every time someone calls in for something that we don't have, our sales teams put, our sales customer support team put that on a document so we can check it. And then later on as we go through, we can, you know, we can choose what we're going to get. What's a couple items that we still need to get that we don't have?
I think we need to get more pipe and drape.
Pipe it up.
Pipe it up. Yeah, we get a lot of calls on that, and we're falling short because our inventory is pretty small.
Yeah, and we still rent them. We just sub-rent them.
Yeah, yeah.
But we rent them for double the price, which we need to double-check the price again.
And then the same thing with stages. We need to up that more. But really, we get a lot for tents. We're just running out. The things are flying off the shelves. But we already have plans for getting that taken care of.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think you look at the list more than I do.
Yeah, I think it's around that stuff right there. I think the next issue kind of runs into, like, if you should even expand to a different area or should you stay there? Mm-hmm. Because, like, what's the actual, like, what's, like, you need to evaluate the feasibility on in return on your actual money, on your investment. So, like, right now, like, it would be kind of like for us to do pipe and drapes, we already have a system that allows us not to lose the customer. They still pay. We still make money. But realistically, the jobs that we're just losing money on because we can't do is the tents. So you need to decide if you need to put more money back into what you already have working or if you need to put more money into something that is new. So usually when you tap out an area, you kind of go that way, or if you don't really want to do much, a lot more in that area. So it just depends. If you want more variety as well, because you really need to look into that, because like you can be like thinking you can buy something and it never goes out at all.
I think that's the worst thing, coming to your warehouse or where you're storing your stuff and see that thing that you bought for that one customer just gathering dust, not making money. So for sure, just look like you said, just have a system somehow. If you're taking the call yourself, you don't have the items, just make a spreadsheet or write it down somewhere. And then if you get enough of that request, you're like, man, I'm just losing opportunity here. Then you make a way to buy that specific item.
Yeah. And then depending on the item, like for our farm tables, we kind of want to make our money back in four rentals. Stuff like the margarita machines or like the chairs, which we call like our staple pieces, is kind of around 10 to 15% every time it goes out. The chairs are being closer to the 15%. And then the margarita is closer to 10 is because you're just going to do a lot of rentals and then you'll still be able to sell it as well. Because you kind of want to understand exactly when and how much you need to make back on it. Because you don't want to go buy a $5,000 thing and then make $5 on it every time it goes out. Like, it's going to take you forever. You know, at least minimum, if someone rents it out every day, it's going to take you 3 years just to make your money back. That includes anything breaks. So that's kind of what we're trying to stay around. And then, like, for linens, those are different because those actually have, like, those are tied to the actual service. Rental product and the service. Mm-hmm. And we do that based on a multiplier of what the service takes us to do, and then we just work on building that down. But you really have to look at your numbers and then understand to make sure that it actually works for you. And then one thing that I know we've had some issues with when we do try to take on some big jobs is you got to watch out being too greedy, because we had a job we were trying to do in Chicago. But the problem is that we wanted to get the whole thing paid for from the customer. Basically, they give us the money, we take it, go get the equipment. Now we have a whole bunch of equipment. But the issue that we had on that is that we got approved by them at $60,000. But we wanted the extra $7,000 or so to do like a clean sweep so we can just get it and just take it. And we should have just put the extra $7,000 in. We ended up losing out on a countless amount of chairs that we could have possibly had, and it would have been no issue on it. So, like, you have to watch out doing that because, you know, sometimes you might think, I want the customer to pay for it, but sometimes if it's stuff you're going to use on a regular basis, sometimes you might want to take those jobs. But you want to be planning all this out at the beginning of the year and not just randomly as it comes up and stuff and just buying stuff, because a lot of people are like, I'm reinvesting everything, but then, like, most times you're not making any profit and the business is not worth anything until you start making a profit. And you have to – and when – I know for us – we kept saying that we were investing every single thing, but I feel like at the time we weren't actually making, like, we weren't investing as much as it should be. It was just an excuse for us not to focus on profit. Yeah. So don't do that. So this is going to the gap analyst right here.
Yeah.
So Eddie, so how do you decide on if of like what we actually need?
Well, it's all about the demand I think, just like you said, if it's not there, then you're not going to get any return on it. It's just going to sit on the shelf. So the main thing that we determine is just what the market is demanding. Sometimes, you know, the market will demand something and you're the only one that has the product. It's kind of like the throne chairs. We did very well here in this market because not a lot of the big guys didn't have that. And we're starting to see that some of them are starting to come around and seeing that there's a demand for it and starting to invest in that. So that's the main thing. Just check your market. Like I always say, I like Facebook because it's free. You have nothing to lose. Even if you don't have the item, just put it on there and you're going to see whether there's a demand for it or not. But not only in that specific area, you can also use Google as well. You put a certain budget and see what you get.
Yeah. And one other way that we deal a little bit on, usually we have an item that goes out a lot. There's usually some type of accessory to that item or some type of add-on that they might not know nothing about and that you add to there. Like, let's say for the stanchions, it's the device that goes to the other thing that links into it, that creates the lines. There's a thing that goes on top that says enter here, exit here, or whatever, that most people don't know what it's called, don't even think about it, but it's something else they'll rent out and you can get a little extra money from it. And it's actually cheap. And on those type of items, you're usually making about 50% back on your money for every time it goes out. And it's kind of like a pairing. So when someone rents this, they'll rent the next one. Mm-hmm. And because this kind of goes together, you really want to have stuff like that you can piece together. So sometimes it's not just starting a new category. Sometimes you just need to expand that the category you already have to kind of build it out. So for us, we had chairs, and then we got into sashes that lines up with the chairs, and you get into linens that go everything together so you can be able to get the full needs of the customer. So another thing that with the process that we're in right now is it's kind of what we're reworking. It's like actually like selecting which equipment and where to get them from. Because we have a dilemma. I think Flash Furniture has some chairs that we like that are smooth, and then Global Events has the rough ones, right?
Yeah.
And like that's a difference because you can tell that between our chairs, and it goes against one of our main rules, which is having everything the same. So we're in a dilemma trying to see if we're going to do the groove ones or we're going to do the smooth ones. And this is something that Eddie's kind of looking at and thinking about too as well, which one's going to work better, because it's not like we've had good success with the groove ones. Like mm-hmm. We're literally sending the groove ones right now. Yeah. And, you know, these are fine. But the smooth ones, I think, like, what's kind of the issue with the whole thing?
Well, the whole thing is it comes down to, like, I think the appearance over time. The groove ones, because one thing is, like, we'll power wash the items, like, if it has, like, heavy soil. But another thing is, like, as far as times go, because we have thousands of chairs, like most of the time, we're just wiping them down. But the thing is, with the grooved ones, when they're wiping them down, it'll have like some of that grime will just kind of get stuck like in that groove, and then it'll have the appearance of being dirty, even though our team has wiped them all down. But the customer doesn't see that; they see it as being dirty. So we have a little backlash on that. Versus the smooth ones, which is the ones we originally started off with, they're just way easier once you wipe it down. It's pretty much what it is. There's nothing that the dirt can kind of hide into. So we're kind of leaning more towards that type of chair.
Yeah, so it's Flash Furniture. Yeah. And I think they're all about the same price, so it's like the same. Yeah. And I think just one is probably like 2 hours closer, and the other one's, so it's one's four, the other one's six yeah. from us, so it's kind of the same.
Road trip.
Yeah. I would love if one of these places were actually like in our city.
Yeah.
We would have more chairs if that was the case, because I go up there every time we get $1,000 extra and just go buy more and more chairs. Yeah, but Mississippi is kind of far on there. But it's weird because it's in Memphis, Mississippi. That's not a good area. If you're out there in Mississippi and Memphis, please let us know what's going on out there. What we were thinking about
is, and meet us halfway with the equipment.
Yeah, meet us halfway. Perfect. It's not it's like it's my talk about it. Somebody's car getting broken in, and a whole bunch of stuff. But the area we went to was fine. It was just
It's like manufacturing.
Yeah, it's the industry.
Warehouses. Yeah.
On there, but. We got some stories to tell y'all from this weekend, but before we get into that, we're going to tell you what you need to actually prepare yourself. You need Next Insurance, or you need any insurance, but Next Insurance is what we currently use and is our partner. This weekend, we had, how many tents got ruined?
Three.
RIP, take a little time for them. Now, on there. So if you're not covered and you don't have the right proper stuff that don't work out, like we had someone hit a truck. If you don't got the insurance for that, then you're out how many thousands of dollars on that?
A lot. Then you have to kind of bite your nails, worried that the other person doesn't see you because, you know, opportunity on businesses when people get hit by them.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I know Next helped us out on the one of the biggest expenses that we've ever had was when we first started out, we were in our Frisco location. And then in that location, I remember they flooded the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Or the sink.
The sink, yeah.
Sink in the warehouse. And then, like, those water heaters were, like, $15,000 each.
Yeah.
And they were like, he has so many of those. And we end up, they end up covering all that. It was over like I think they said it was a couple, at least over $100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would have been literally financially ruined. So make sure you have insurance. Make sure you're covered. Not trying to scare you, but get your stuff. Next insurance, link in the description. It helps us out too as well. We get a little kickback. You know, if we provide any value and you look for insurance, just give them a check, just try out and get a quote. It's a free quote. You're not, no obligation to keep it. So now that you're getting this equipment, and this is another thing that we talk about, or getting to know a service area. We're starting to get into AV equipment a lot more than what we're usually doing, and not just like the ones where the person gets the PA system and just goes. But the next issue that I know we both have on this is that we need to do training across the board in figuring that out. What's kind of our plan for this whole AV training thing?
Well, I think the one thing is, like, we're pretty knowledgeable about it, so basically what we're doing is basically a training program. The main thing that we know is people do very well with videos. I don't know, it's because back in the old days when we were younger, you know, teachers said, all right, we're going to watch a video, and everybody's like,
excited.
Everybody's excited, they roll in the TV.
Oh, yeah.
I was part of that era, so you know what I'm talking about. Go ahead and give me a thumbs up on that.
I remember everyone had that big TV that they rolled into the classroom.
They're like, no homework today, we're just going to watch the TV. So we know that people do very well with videos. So we're creating videos to kind of fast track people. We also have written documents to help out people. And then also, one of the more experienced members will go out there. So we'll send somebody that doesn't have experience, but they'll watch all the documents and read everything. And they'll go out there with them and kind of hold their hand and coach them through the whole thing. And then we kind of get a sense whether this individual is actually going to be able to perform these tasks. And then eventually, once they've deemed themselves worthy, we kind of let their hands go and they run off by themselves. Then we just continue that cycle over and over until we have a whole team of staff members that know what they're doing.
Yeah, because training is very important when you get new equipment. Even sometimes your older equipment, we've been spending a lot of our resources. Tina's been basically doing a lot of stuff like that on training up and getting footage and videos to put together for all of our equipment and tutorial. We're going to do a lot tomorrow. I know we had another incident this weekend where the person rented the margarita machine. The driver told them, just throw some tequila in the mix into the margarita machine, and then that'll make you your 50 cups. So just mind you, each cup is 8 ounces. 50 times that's 400 ounces right there. The bottle is only 60. They only put like 10 ounces of tequila in there. So obviously that's 70. It's not going to make you 40. Make you 50 cups at all. But since the driver didn't know what he was talking about, and you're supposed to put any water in there, because if you don't put the water in there, it doesn't freeze. And alcohol in that thick syrup is not freezing at the temperature that we have it at, because it's set specifically to have some water in there. Mm-hmm. And like we have to go back and do some training on that, because we missed an opportunity. And we were the experts on this. And the customer was like, hey, the machine must be broken or malfunctioning. I put 70 ounces in, didn't get 400 out. And I had to tell her, like, obviously that doesn't make any sense, because you need, like, it's not magic.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing we got to work on.
Yeah, we dropped the ball on that one. So just like anything that we've talked before, you know, you have your issues, you just come up with resolutions for them. So this is one of the issues that we saw. So now we're going to be coming up with the training documents and also for the customer as well, a video for them, the way they can kind of know how to use the product versus having to rely on the driver to tell them how to use it.
Yeah. So we're going to literally make that video this week, and then we're going to get that sent out to people, everyone who has a margarita machine. And then while we're doing that, we're going to make another video that tells our warehouse team how to clean it out, since we're already there, and go through the whole process. But that's the stuff that we're working on, and you'll see it after each individual product and that you bring on. You need to have some type of training, some type of manual in there. And we like to say, when you bring a new product on, you need to have somewhere to store it with or carry it with, some type of case, besides like a chair, a table, or a tent or something like that. If it's something small, some type of case, some type of box, crate, whatever it is that you can put them in there. The next part is that now that you have all that and you're ready to kind of get out there and you're like, okay, I'm going to put this on the website. You've already checked the demand and you're ready to go. Now you got to push that out and let people know you have it. So for us, we go by listing on the website, which we usually do first to get the actual demand for it. And then from there, we start pushing out, telling customers about it, using all the other materials and everything to kind of push it out more and really to let people know. Because most times people just don't know what you want to rent. And even though you probably get a lot of calls, people asking about it, majority of people, if they don't sit on your site, they just assume you don't rent it. Yeah. So they don't even touch it.
Yeah. And also, like, you still have your salespeople. If you're doing all the calls, you can also ask them if they want that. It doesn't hurt anything. I mean, it does hurt if you don't ask. But if you do ask, you know, the worst they can say is no. And then the best case scenario, they're going to say yes, and you just made a sale. So one of those things, always ask. Assume the sale.
Yeah, and I think going out forward, every time we bring a new product, we might drop like a blog post or something, throw a video out there and push it around to customers in the past. And then maybe we might have a new item section on all the quotes and stuff so people can get more introduced into everything. Just really highlight these new things and then what they pair with. Because we did bring in a couple new items that already go with stuff that go out as accessories. And these we're going to use for upsells to continue. The next thing is, like, now we like okay, so now you're at a point. You got everything out there, it's working, it's 2 weeks later. You need to actually go back and look at and make sure this thing is working properly and that you're getting your return on investment and track the performance. And our software, which we'll throw up a screen of it, it'll have like a thing on there that tells you how much you spent, and then it'll tell you how much you made from it. And then from there, you can be able to adjust and see what's the amount on there. I think eventually we'll do we might add a thing on there where it should be like tells you the date that you made your money back.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, we should do something like that.
We'll have like a little congratulation email, yeah. That sounds out.
Yeah.
I made your money back on this item.
You're now at zero. So that helps out a lot, just to be able to see that information. Mm-hmm. And we use that information to be able to make decisions. Are we going to bring this back in? Are we going to keep this or not? It's just something that helps out. You have to track. You have to have some type of way to identify that this item is performing the way you want to, especially if you bring it in a whole new category. You just need to know. And you can't just be like, oh, I see it moving. It's going out. And, you know, you need to adjust your prices, make your stuff going out. Because the newest category that we have recently put in is the actual yard games. And we see that they're going out. And then, but like sometimes you don't really know. So I know recently I went back through and looked at it. I said that we made our money back across the whole of all the category, but we have a couple different products that are not are a little bit above it, and we have some that are a lot above it. So we can determine in the future which one we're gonna pay and which one we're gonna invest more into. But I also seen people like rent like all of them together because they just want to do more stuff. So. Let's go into the rental rundown. So these questions are going to be coming from our fair lady, Tina.
So the first question is, what rental equipment should I start with?
Good question. Well, I think it's going to be determined on a lot of things. It's, you know, what's your budget. That's the first thing. What can you afford? Second, what kind of vehicle are you going to be transporting these bad boys in? Because if you have just a regular little sedan, your ability to move things is going to be very limited. But if you have a pickup truck, you know, now you can do a lot of different things. And then secondly, like realistically, what are you able to actually move? So if it's just like a one-man team, you're not going to be starting off with like a 40 by 100 tent. It's going to be like nearly impossible for you to do that kind of job. It doesn't make good business sense either. So just, you know, answer those kind of questions. You can start off with bounce houses. I've seen some crazy stuff where people put it in their car. But, you know, you're going to need to know the dimensions of the vehicle. What are you physically able to do? And then also what you can afford as far as budget goes. Because one thing to take in consideration, the more if there's a certain demand, the more items of that specific that they want, the more money you can make. But if you blow your whole budget on one specific thing, it can only go back out one time. So take that in consideration when you do decide what item to start with.
All right, so the next question is, how much equipment should I purchase to start with?
Yeah. So I generally recommend that everyone starts around somewhere between $4,000 to $10,000, kind of get your feet wet, because usually that'll get you back around $400 to up to $800 back each week, which will give you enough return to keep kind of started. If you start too low, you won't be able to get enough stuff for people, but you only want to spend those in like one or two categories. So if it's either going to be like it'd be a bounce house, that'd be fine, or tent, or you can be like a white, you can do like you can do tables and chairs, but you really kind of want to just have spend that much money, because your return is going to be based off of what you spend, and you don't want to do too much. So around $4,000 to $10,000, start off with, get your feet wet, make a, you know, from there you make $400 to $1,000 or a little bit more when you get started. So make sure you guys go ahead and get the Ultimate Checklist. Go on and get it. Check the emails down below in the description. Please look at that right there. And also, too, if you haven't noticed, we are offering consultations. We've done quite a few in the last week or so. So if you need help with anything, please reach out to both of us. If you want to talk to one of us, please let us know that one person you want to. For all everybody out there, Eddie's not available on Saturday nights, so he can't do those. But we can get you taken care of and look into you and get to your specific issues that you may have in your business and really work on you to help everything out. And also, too, if you have any questions, quick questions that you want to ask, you can send us an email. Our email is down in the descriptions as well. And if you haven't already, just go ahead and comment something down below, like to ask us some questions, you know, tell us where you're at, where you're based off of. We would love to hear that and understand and everything about you so we can be able to provide more content. And if we have provided you any value at all, please subscribe. Please, Tina's asking you to subscribe right now. In the back right now, you can't see her, but she's asking. So please subscribe if we provide you any value. And if you're on our podcast listening platform, then subscribe on there and also give us a 5-star review, like always. And other than that, oh, that's an ant. other than that, we're pretty much good. But thank you guys so much for watching. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we'll see you in the next one.
See ya.
And for that person out there.